Check, check. There you go. I hear echo every time. My wife says, if you're talking, I hear you before you get here. I hear you clunk like a horse, but she said, I can hear you before you're clunking. So I can hear you neigh before I can hear you clunking. Amen. I told those guys in the juveniles, you know, told them this is not a stopping point, it's a starting point. And I said, I can just see it now. Some of y'all don't realize that some of y'all may wind up getting scholarships and going to school on your athletic ability. Some of you might even go on your academic ability. I said, but I got a feeling one day you're going to come up to me in a hospital or somewhere to help me, and you're going to look at me and say, do you remember that night that you talked to me in that room? And they said, and the guys were just floored. I said, remember, this is not the end. This is the beginning. Something greater is coming from this. You know, I read this story. At the end of their first day, the young fella takes the girl back to her home, and on the front porch, leaning against the wall with a bit of swagger, fellas, he decides to try for that important first kiss. He said, sweet thing, how about a good night kiss? She said, oh, I couldn't do that. My parents will see us. He said, oh, come on, who's going to see us at this hour? She said, no, please. I would just die of embarrassment if anybody saw us. He said, baby, there's nobody around. They're all sleeping. She said, no way. It's too risky. He said, oh, please, please, I love you so much. She said, no, I like you too, but I just can't. He said, oh, yes, you can. Please, sugar, please. She said, no, no, I just can't. He said, please. Then the porch light goes on, and the girl's sister shows up in her pajamas, sleeping, her hair all disheveled, and she says, Dad says, go ahead and give him a kiss, or I can do it, or if need be, he'll come down himself and do it. But for crying out loud, tell him to take his hand off the intercom button. That would be a rough one, wouldn't it? Amen. How many has had anything in your life lately that could get you down? Amen. We heard our sister up here talking about some stuff that could get you down. She didn't say that it got her down. She said it tried to get her down, but she kept getting back up. And just like God sends a friend from all the way to New Mexico to even solidify getting back up. That's an awesome, awesome thing. I'm just going to, we started on this a few weeks ago, and I even debated last night about this. And I was sitting there with Bethany, and as I began to just watch her, and I heard the people around her talking about, you know, we come in here expecting to see somebody look like warmed over death, and instead, we got this bouncing joy in here. And I said, yeah, I me too. I said, just last week, Linda and I actually tried to find her a ticket to Rome. They'll say, wow, because that's where she'd like to go, you know, because of, in case something goes south, she can make that big trip. No, Bethany said, well, I don't really want to go to Rome, Dad. I said, it's not for you, it's for me. She said, why? I said, I want to see if you can actually make the Pope cuss. So she's been telling all the people at the hospital about that too, but that's been funny. Okay, seven ups or seven downs that'll get us up. Let me get the Bible out. God is so good all the time. Y'all get your Bible out of Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I won't keep you long because I'm not going to say that, because every time I say that, y'all go, what do you consider long? Yeah. Somebody took Romans out of my Bible. There it is. I think one of the maddest I ever made one of my Bible professors when I was in Bible college. When he said, David, will you please turn to Matthew such and such and read it for us? And I said, hey, professor, is that Old or New Testament? Y'all stand for the reading of the word. Romans chapter 15. Y'all stand. This is some powerful stuff here. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. If you got your Mighty Army this morning, let me mention something. If you want Mighty Army, all you got to do is tell me or tell Jeannie or Don or tell one of the deacons or something. They'll get it to me. I just need your phone number, and I won't be calling you, but you will be getting a message every morning. And this morning's was, you don't have to have a right time to help somebody. It doesn't have to be a special reason to help somebody. Just help them. Amen. and it works out good with this. Also, if you're not on the Everett Christian Church text list, this is an entirely different thing. It's not the same thing. Mighty Army is one thing. This is something different. Whenever there's something going on in the church or there's prayer requests needed, you will get this text, and it says Everett Christian Church text, and you will find out things that's going on in the church, whether it be events or whether it be prayer requests. But you've got to tell Hazel, or you're one of them, tell Hazel, tell Sister Hazel, or again, you can tell Sister Jenny, one of those two, and they'll get you on this text list. And I would advise you to get on both of them. One's uplifting, and the other one keeps you informed. And that's something good, especially in the day when used to we get on the telephone and try to call everybody. That's kind of impossible now, you know, with all the things going on. And, you know, you might can leave a voicemail, maybe not, and then you might not listen to your voicemail. You'd rather have a text. I don't know about y'all, but I used to hate text. I think they're great now because it saves a lot of time and effort. You can look right down at it, and so it's really cool. So if you want a text, Mighty Army text, encouraging text, talk to me or Jeannie. If you want to get on the text for the church and get the information and know if somebody's in the hospital, know you got to be praying for somebody, and you talk to Sister Hazel or Sister Jeannie. Amen? Okay, here we go. Even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience, and the patience does not, patience is actually how you wait. Will you wait with a cheerful heart, or do you wait with a pitiful heart? He's talking about cheerful endurance and comfort of the scriptures that we might have hope. God is so awesome to us. Amen. So here we go. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. And I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us, God. Make the difference that only you can in our lives. I know, God, that you've got this, all this stuff. You've got it, Lord. You're working in our midst. You're making differences in our lives. And I'm looking for what you can do in our lives this day, God. Help us see your word like we have not ever seen it before. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we love you. And the church said, amen, amen. You can be seated on the way down. Look at somebody and tell them the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing shall be impossible. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, just to kind of brief, I'm not going to do like I did last time. Last time I got here and stayed here. I'm just going to breeze through this now. But one of the biggest problems in the world today is fear. And fear is an epidemic level in so many lives. It's amazing how people are living in fear. If you can go somewhere now and go in a fast food restaurant or go somewhere and a loud noise is made, and you start seeing people start ducking. Or they start looking around because they know now there's always a chance that somebody's going to come in and shoot up something, a disgruntled employee or something's going to happen, or the terrorists might have a bomb explode somewhere. So I ask God to show me an acrostic for fear. And, of course, here it is. Fear fervently erodes all your rest. Fervently erodes. Now, erodes means just takes away. Actually, if I didn't put fervently, erodes means a little bit at a time. But because I put fervently in there, it erodes at a quicker pace. The more fear you have in your heart, the quicker your rest goes away. And it's very important. I don't know about you, but I need rest. Don't you? We need God to help us through all that we're going through. So again, Jesus warned that in his last days that men's heart be filling them for fear. And if fear is allowed to persist, it becomes depression. And there's a whole lot of depressed people. There's people that are depressed chronically. I mean, that's all there. They're all the time depressed. There's people there that just get depressed periodically. There's clinical depression. There's all kinds of depression, all kinds of ways to put it. But still, people get down. And when they get down, it seems like it's hard to get back up because there's so much beating on you to keep you down. And so I've noticed that there's many people have more downs than they have ups, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a down-in-the-mouth Christian, you're not going to win anybody to the Lord. Amen? If all you're talking about how bad you got it, I do not want a shoe salesman coming to me going, oh, my feet are killing me. Wouldn't you like to buy a pair of these? And so if we walk around, with more downs than ups, if we're not careful, if we let it come out of our mouth constantly, what happens is instead of winning people to Christ, we will actually turn them away from them. Amen? So look at somebody and say, you need to get excited about being saved. Tell somebody that. Ready? So here it is. We started on it last time, and we're going to go through it quickly, and I do mean quickly. I don't know how, I can't describe quickly, though. Okay. All right, here we go. God's got seven downs that we can have ups. Amen? So real quick. Oh, I love that picture. That picture right there is amazing to me. I can imagine looking up in the clouds and seeing God reach down like that. That is just so amazing. So again, Psalm 14, 2 and 3, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see that they were, that were any that did understand and seek God, and they were all gone aside. We were all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. If you look in the book of Romans, you'll see that again. Our righteousness, and we don't have any righteousness. Amen. So watch this. He saw the depravity of fallen man. He saw that death stalked and plagued God's people, and he saw the destiny that awaits the lost souls. So watch this. The first down is God looked down. Aren't you glad that God looked down on you? I'm so glad. You know, there was people that were afraid to follow me. There were people that were afraid to get around me. Before I got saved, I literally would make a sailor blush. I saw it happen. I'd make sailors blush, and at work, there was people that would get up from my table and go somewhere else when I'd start talking, because that's how filthy my mouth had gotten, and I had gotten really, really down. And I'm glad that when I was that way, while everybody else was trying to move away from me, God moved closer. Amen? He said, you ain't scaring me. You don't scare me at all. Amen. So watch this. Look. He looked down because I was not looking up. Amen. How many was looking up when Jesus found you? I guarantee you none of you were. Amen. To start with, you were looking any other way but up. Amen. God looked down. So y'all say the Lord looked down. Down number one, God looked down. Down number two, get ready. I love that. You cannot have the cross without having the manger. They're all connected together. So here we go. John 3:31 and 32, he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he hath seen and heard that he testified, no man received his testimony. Amen. So watch this. Christ came to reveal God's love and reveal God's purpose. He came to reaffirm God's laws and his precepts. But the biggest thing is, he came to redeem God's lost people. So now, the second down. Get ready. The Lord came down. Somebody say the Lord came down. The reason the Lord came down is because we couldn't go up. Amen? No matter how hard we try through religion, no matter how hard we try through our mind, no matter how hard we try, any way you look about it, slice it and dice it, I can't get to heaven without God's help. Amen? I can't even live a good life without God's help. I can't even have a good attitude without God's help. So I thank God that not only did he look down, number one, he came down. He said, I'm going to do something about David Linton. Amen? Praise God. My mama said, son, I'm glad there ain't but one of you. And I pray every day that God takes that mole and tears it up. She said, if your brothers had to come out like you, I'd have sent them back. I don't know how you do that. Amen. But before she died, she'd say, son, I'm so glad you're here. I love you being here. But a lot of times I kept hearing, well, we'll leave that alone. Okay, great. So here's the first. The Lord came down. But not only did the Lord came down, look, he cried, it is finished. I love this. When he cried, it's finished on the cross, that means literally it's paid for. It's paid for. Some of y'all in here, listen to me. The reason that you're down is because you're trying to pay for things in the past that you did, and you never, ever pay for it. Christ already paid for it for you. Quit trying to pay for something you did in the past and let take on and hold on to what God did for you. Amen? 1 John 3:16, the Amplified says, but this we come to know progressively, to recognize and to perceive and to understand the essential love that he laid down his own life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for those who are our brothers in him. So watch this. I love this. He stayed on the cross. He could have come off of it. He stayed on the cross. He sacrificed his life as a lamb. He satisfied God's demands for salvation. The Creator allowed the creation to kill him. Can I say that loud enough? The Creator allowed the creation to kill him in order that the creation could get to the Creator. Wow. One more time. The Creator allowed the creation to kill him in order that the creation could get to the Creator. So here it goes again. The third one. The Lord laid down. Y'all say laid down. The Lord laid down. Praise God. We're getting close. I love this one. Now I'm going to have to stop here and park for just a minute, okay? Do you know that there's about 28 major theories and thousands of theses written on what Jesus did between the cross and the resurrection? There's all kinds of stuff written. Excuse me. I think that hospital living is getting to me. Okay. Watch this. It says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. So he went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now again, you may have your own theory, and that's fine. I'm not going to argue with you about your theories, because that's fine, because it is a theory, because the only thing I can go by, and I'm not going to go by my theory, I'm going to go by what the Word of God says. If you go by what the Word of God says, then forget the theories. So watch this. The Bible said when he died, he went into hell, and he preached to the captives. Number one. He preached to the captives. Now, what captives did he preach to? Listen carefully. Before Jesus died, before the blood was shed, remember when Jesus came out of the tomb, he told Mary when she first saw him, "Do not touch me. I have not ascended to my Father yet." Then later on that day, he said, "Everybody touch him and feel all the scars and all this." What happened was the high priest on the Day of Atonement, once he had the blood of the Lamb, he could not be touched by anybody until he had put the blood on the mercy seat. Once he put the blood on the mercy seat, then he could be touched. Jesus, when he rose from the dead and he saw Mary, he had not gone to the heavenly of heavenlies yet and to the heavenly mercy seat. And he took the blood, our blood, or his blood that he shed for us, he took it and he went to the heavenly mercy seat and he put the blood on the heavenly mercy seat. Of course, God accepted it. And then he came back and then he said, "Now you can touch me, because now I have taken the blood and put it on the mercy seat, the blood of the sacrificial lamb." While he's in hell, before Jesus died, no matter who you were when you died, whether you were a believer or a non-believer, don't throw any rocks yet, because let me finish it. Before Jesus resurrected, whenever somebody died, good or bad, they all went to hell. Let me explain it. Hell had a division in it. It had a great gulf in it. The rich man of Lazarus tells us about that great gulf. The top was Abraham's bosom. It was a place of safety, comfort, and hope. Below was hell, the abode of the dead. And it was dry, and it was hurting, and it was heating. There was all kinds of stuff going on down at the sofa in that part. There was a great gulf in between. And so when the rich man wound up in hell, he told Jesus, just send Father Abraham, just send Lazarus down here with just some water on the tip of his finger to touch my tongue to cool it. He said, there's a great gulf between us. He said, in life, you had the good things, he had the bad. Now he's got the good things and you've got the bad. And so that great gulf was there. Now, that's because nobody could go to heaven yet, because the price had not been paid. But if you were a believer, you didn't go to hell and suffer. You went to Abraham's bosom. It was a place of comfort. But if you did not believe, you had not followed the law and had not followed the stuff that was going on, the Old Testament saints looked forward to the cross. We look backwards to the cross. And so if you died without faith, then you wound up in the bottom, Sheol. It was called Upper Sheol, Lower Sheol. So Upper Sheol was a place of comfort. Lower Sheol was Hades, the abode of the dead. So when Jesus died, he went into hell and he preached to both of them. He preached to those in Upper Sheol and said, I'm the one y'all were believing for in all this time. I'm here. See, I'm alive. I came just like I said. Lower Sheol, he looked at him and said the same thing. I was the one you should have been believing in. I was the one you should have been looking forward to. So what happened is the Bible says that he led captivity captive, meaning he took those in Upper Sheol and he carried them to heaven with him. That's now, when we die, we go before the Father and we go into a heavenly presence because of Calvary. The Bible says in Isaiah that hell hath enlarged itself, meaning the Upper Sheol is gone. Now it's nothing but Lower Sheol, Hades, hell. And so Jesus is down there and he's preaching to the captives. But I like this too. How many remember on the cross there was two slaves? Or not two slaves, but two thieves. Excuse me, two thieves. And what it was pretty fascinating to think about is Jesus was 1R, redemption. One thief was 1R, rejection. Amen? And then there was one over here that was asking God, look, there was redemption, there was repentance, and there was rejection. It was a perfect picture of what happens daily in people's lives. The one that rejected, he died and he went to Hades in Lower Sheol. But the one that accepted Jesus, he said, today thou shalt be with me where? Did he say heaven? What did he say? Paradise. Paradise is Upper Sheol. Paradise is Abraham's bosom. So I like to think about it this way. Praise God. Brandon, come here, bro. Come here, Brandon. I know normally I have him as a devil. He ain't going to be the devil today. If you'd rather be the devil, we can figure something out. So watch this. Can you imagine hell that day? Because let me tell you something. If you look at the Bible, you'll see that what Jesus did on the cross actually was a great mystery. It was a mystery to everybody because the apostles were thinking that he was going to live and open up a kingdom on this earth. Religion thought he was going to set up a kingdom on this earth. The devil was just trying to stop him. So to everybody, including the devil, it was a great mystery. Because the Bible says if they'd have known what they were doing, they would have never crucified him. And if the devil had known what he was doing, the devil would have done something different. So the devil's in hell. He's doing his stuff. He's got these guys captive. And I don't think there was a knock on the door. I think Clint Eastwood may have got this from him. I can see Jesus now kicking down the gates of hell. And only to kick down the gates of hell, as he's walking down the corridors of hell, he's not walking by himself. He's walking arm in arm with the guy that just said, Father, remember me when you get to your kingdom. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Can you imagine Jesus walking down the corridors of hell just like this? He's got the thief with him who just a few hours before had no hope in his life. Praise God, he got crucified at that time. And the most powerful thing of all is they walk up to the devil and they look at him and he says, give him over. Give him to me now. Give me the keys to hell and death. You don't have them anymore. Can you imagine? You can go sit down. So he's got the keys of hell and death. It's a very powerful thing. So he preaches to the captives. He leads them into heaven. Amen. That's pretty cool. But also, he puts the devil in his place. And then he takes the keys. He pushes away the fear of death. I am no longer afraid of death. Just yesterday, Bethany looked at me because they were trying to figure out what all this was, and they really had us kind of had our nerves kind of rattled as they were going through trying to figure out how to give her the right stuff, and she was rejecting some things, and some things were messing her up, and all this stuff's going on. And she looks at me and she says, first she says, God's got this. And then she looks at me and she says, hold it, Dad. Either way, I win. I said, it's just amazing. It just blew me away. Either way, Dad, I win. God's got this. Look, she said, I don't have fear of death because I know what's going to wait me on the other side. So look. So watch this. Once he was taken down off the cross, we saw him taken off, or we didn't, but they saw him taken off the cross and put in a tomb. But in spirit, he went down into hell. He carried the one that repented, the thief that repented, went down there. He busted down the gates of hell. He led captive. He preached to all of them and said, look, here's what you didn't believe in me. That's why you're here. You did believe in me. I've come to get you. And then he put the devil in his place. He took away his keys. Amen. You know, I heard somebody say one time, you know, the devil walks everywhere he goes. I said, how do you say that? He said, because Jesus took his keys. Amen. And so he finished. So here it is. The Lord went down. He went all the way down into heaven or to hell to finish the job. Wow, he finished the job. Now watch this. I'm almost through. I said almost. That's right. I didn't start saying I'm closing yet. I got five of those. You keep up with those, Benny. All right. Okay. Here it goes. So, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and expects the image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. Y'all say sat down. He sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. What has that got to do with anything? He sat down by the Father. That kind of sounds like he was tired. Don't it? Nah, get ready. Here it goes. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Now watch, I love this. I love it. Here we go. He finished the work of redemption. If you went into the temple, if you went to the tabernacle or you went into the temple, there's one out of all the nice furniture and all the gold inlay stuff and all the absolute awesome things, the lampstand and all this stuff and the altar. There's one thing you would never see in the tabernacle, and that's a chair. The reason there's not a chair in the tabernacle is because the priest never had time to sit down. They were constantly, people were coming up and they were in line. They stayed in line. They lined up and waited for sacrifices for their sin and for whatever they had done, and also for the birth of their children. There's all kinds of things they would offer sacrifices for. And the priests never had a chance to sit down. They were always so busy, all they could do was offer sacrifices. But Jesus, he finished the work of redemption. He fulfilled all the types. He fulfilled all the shadows. He furnishes the believer with power to serve. You know why? Here it is, because the Lord sat down. Amen? The reason he sat down is he says, look, the other guys couldn't sit down because they were always having to offer sacrifices, because the Bible says the blood of bulls and goats were not able to take away sin. They only covered sin. Amen? But when Jesus came, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. It's not piled up. It's taken away. It's done away with. Some of us in here right now, the reason that you're having so much difficulty is because you keep piling it on. It's time to quit piling it on. It's time to trust God. He don't want to pile it on anymore. He wants to take it away. Praise the Lamb of God. I don't have to hide my past. I don't have to keep being beat up by my past. I don't have to have the devil keep reminding me of my past, piling it on top, on top, on top, on top, and I'm carrying that heavy burden. Jesus took it away. Praise the Lamb of God. He sat down. Glory to the Lamb of God. Now we are almost through now. How many downs have we hit so far? Not how many quits, how many downs? Well, here we go. Matthew, I love that picture. Praise God, I love that picture. Matthew 14, 31 and 33 says, "And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore do thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Wow. He, watch this, he lifts you out of your death into a life eternal. He will lead you out of your defeats into victory. He will loose you from all that prevents you, your devotion to Christ with power and purpose. So watch this. Here's another down. The Lord reaches down. I'm so glad he reaches down to me, because Lord knows I can't reach up to him. Amen. Let's say one. There's only 15 more down. No, there's two more downs. And I'm closing. Two. Okay. Here we go. BJ, get ready. When I get to that down after this, you can come on down. You know how you get down off an elephant? You don't. You get down off a duck. Okay. Okay. All right. Here, oh, that awesome, absolutely awesome picture. We're getting ready to see that one day. Here it goes. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 16. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep," or those that are dead. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, I did have a guy tell me one time, a preacher told me his church was going first. I said, "How in the world? You know your church is going first. Y'all think y'all some kind of religious, extra religious stuff?" He said, "No, it's biblical." I said, "How are y'all going first? We're all going at the same time." He said, "No, the Bible quickly directly states the dead in Christ shall rise first. My church is going first." Why do the dead in Christ rise first? This is pretty cool. Because God is a God of order. And because God's going to let all of us get this at the same time, in order for us all to get it at the same time, the graves are going to burst open. They got 6 foot to go. They got other places they got to pull back together. So when the dead come back up, by the time they get up to us, we're all changed and we go to be with Jesus. Wow. That's very powerful. Plus, God brings back the souls of the men that died and women that died before. Their souls will reach their resurrected body, and then we will all become glorified. Isn't that an awesome thing? We're all going to be changed. The corruption will put on incorruption. Praise the Lamb of God. So watch this. Watch this. He comes first to raise the dead saints, then he raptures the living saints, and then he rewards the faithful saints. And for those that say, "Well, rapture is not in the Bible," I explained this one time before, but I feel like I need to do it again. The word rapture itself is not in the Bible. No, it's not. One of the first times the Bible was actually fully translated, it was fully translated in Latin. It was called the Latin Vulgate. Jerome translated it. It was called the Latin Vulgate. That's what the early Catholic Church used especially, and they still use it many, many times. So the Bible's in Latin. That's why they pray in Latin and why they read the Word of God in Latin. So you got this Latin. Okay, well, the Bible says in Thessalonians, when it's talking about the rapture, it calls it the called up, or being called up or being catched away. Called up, catched away, or called away, however you want to say that. But when you look it up, called away or catching up, called away in the Latin Vulgate, when you take it and translate called up in Latin, it's rapio, is where we get the word rapture. So that's where the word rapture comes from. It is the actual Latin word for being called up. So it is in the Bible. It just depends on what translation that you look at. So here we go. Raise the dead saints, rapture the living saints, and then we're going to start seeing some rewards. Isn't that going to be cool when we get rewarded at the marriage supper of the Lamb? So watch this. The Lord is coming down. Y'all say coming down. And then there's one more. There's one more, and I'm closing. Where'd BJ go? I need him to get ready. There you go. Three times. I can close two more times, right? Hebrews chapter 2. Look at this. Trust me. I have everything under control. Jesus. Trust me, I got everything under control. You know, I sit there and watch my kids, and they'd be all worried about what they're going to do here and there. And I'd already seen, I already knew they had the problem, and I'd already taken care of it. Many times I'd already had the solution, already paid for it, it was ready to go, but I hadn't told them yet. And so they're having a hard time because they're thinking that it's not being taken care of. And I said, does your father ever let you go without? Doesn't your father take care of you all the time? Yes, Dad, but I think you blew it this time. No, I didn't. Look. Same way. You may not see what God has for you. You may not have it all figured out yet. How many here has got it all figured out? Raise your hand. The only thing I got all figured out is I don't know what's going to happen next. Amen? Trust me. I have everything under control. So get ready. Get ready. Here it goes. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for he that put all the subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Now we see not all things put. So watch this. That's kind of a fancy way of saying watch this. Under him, first he places Satan. During this time of the rapture, he puts him in after seven years of Satan running loose, he goes in the bottomless pit. Remember, the day of the Lord, the rapture is the beginning of the day of the Lord, the second coming is the ending of the day of the Lord, of 7 years. So in that 7 year period, Satan's got free reign, but at the end of that 7 years, Satan's going in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. So first, Satan's in the bottomless pit. This is the one I really hate, but I had to put it in here. Because if I didn't put it in here, I wouldn't be preaching the whole gospel. He'll place those that are separated from him. I didn't know how to even put it. I had no idea even how to place this. Those that are separated from him, he can put them in their rightful place. And that's sad. Somebody says, well, the reason I put rightful place is because it's the place they chose, because God predestined. When I say predestined, that doesn't mean he decided who's going to heaven, who's going to hell. He predestined for every man because of the cross. He predestined for every man to have an ability to go to heaven or to go to hell. That's up to you, not up to him. He's already said here, the doors are open wide. You got to walk through it. And so those that have separated themselves from him, totally just pushed their way away from him, they've just said, I don't want anything to do with him, then that's their chosen. I should have put chosen place. That's their chosen place, because if they don't have anything to do with God, the Bible says if you draw close to God, he does what? Draw close to you. He's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on you. Satan will. And so if you live life, the Bible says, watch this. The Bible says you can blaspheme the Father. You can blaspheme the Son. But if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, it will not be forgiven you in this life or in the next life coming. What's it talking about? If you reject the calling of the Holy Spirit drawing you to God, wooing you to God, and telling you you need to be saved, you need to give God your life, you need to give this to God. If you reject God's calling through the Holy Spirit to be saved, if you reject that, you can talk about God, you can talk about Jesus, but if you reject the Holy Spirit wooing you into salvation, then it's not going to be forgiven in this life or the next. And that's sad, but it's true. And then, saints, we're going in a glorious paradise. It's so amazing. You know, I'm blown away at this cancer center in Greenville. It just blows me away how great it is, how it looks so great. Everything's right there at your fingertips. I mean, it's been amazing. Everything's all under one roof. It's been awesome. And every time I go in there, I thank God for that place and thank God for those doctors because they just get around Bethany and they treat her so good and all these nurses. It's been amazing. And Bethany said, Dad, I really like this place. And I said, Bethany, I'm glad you do because we were having to spend so much time here. She said, well, Dad, I can't think of a better place to be. This is awesome. And I think about how great that is. I can't even imagine. And everything right there that you need at your fingertips. Can you imagine being in heaven? And everything you need at your fingertips. Wow. Never growing old. Everybody's gonna be like a bunch of spry teenagers running around. Isn't it gonna be awesome? That's awesome. Not gonna be a gray hair. Amen. The guy told me Linda ordered something, some drive through, somebody brought something delivered to us the other day, and he said, look for the big guy in the big black shirt. And I said, he said, now who am I looking for? I said, a tall, big guy with a bunch of white hair. He said, you were really easy to pick out of that crowd. I said, I thought so. This awesome hair job I got is not going to be in heaven. I had the same barber. That reminds me, there was this guy, his name was Bobby, and Bobby was always optimistic. He was so optimistic. And so Bobby says, he goes to his barber, and he says, I need a good haircut. He says, what's going on? He had a nosy barber who had a very bad attitude. He looked at his barber and said, he says, where are you going? Someplace special? You got to have the works? He says, yeah, I'm going to go see the Pope. He says, you can't go see the Pope. He's got all these guards around him. Do you have a special appointment? He says, no, I don't have a special appointment, but I'm going to go see the Pope. I'm going to Rome, leaving tomorrow. He says, so you haven't even called him yet? You don't even know what's going on? He don't know who you are. He's going to have all his guards around him. He's not going to let you up. And he went on and on and on about how crazy this guy was, Bobby, trying to get up to see the Pope. He said, just cut my hair. I'll take care of this. So he got through cutting his hair. And he said, I'll come back and see you when I get back. So the following week, he comes back. He comes back and he says, well, I bet you didn't see the Pope, did you? He said, as a matter of fact, I did. He said, you did? He said, yeah, I saw the Pope. He said, come on now, there ain't no way you saw the Pope. He said, yeah. He said, I was in the Vatican yard. I'm out there in that courtyard, and there's thousands of people. And the Pope, like God was guiding him, looked down and found me amongst all those people and pointed me out and sent the guards down for me. He said, oh, come on, they didn't do all this. Yeah, it did. He sent the guards down, they come and got me, and they pulled me into his presence. He said, oh, that ain't going to happen. There ain't no way. You're just a little peon. He said, no, he pulled me up, and I stood up on the platform with him. He said, really? And then he spoke to me. He says, yeah, what did he say? He said, look at me and said, son, who gave you that sorry haircut? And finally, let's say the Lord will put down. The Lord will put down. He'll put down Satan. So look, I want y'all to remember. Come on up here, BJ. I want you to remember. Whenever you're down, you remember God got down for you. It's amazing. He looked down. He came down. He stayed down. He went down under. He just, any way you turn, God had it covered. God had it covered. It's so important. It is so important that we trust God in these things that we go through. Everybody stand up. Stand up and bow your head. Close your eyes. I'm going to ask you why everybody's got your head bowed and nobody's looking around. I'm just asking. I want you to put your hand up quickly. You don't have to keep it up. But if you're here today and you've been fighting down all the downs, you've been fighting all these downs in your own life. And instead of focusing on your downs that are negative, you may need some help, but you need to start focusing on the downs that are positive, what Jesus did. They're all positive. If you're here today, nobody looking around, and when I tell you to, I want you to slide it up real quick. You've been focusing on all the negative downs in your life, and you're needing to learn how and to see how to focus on the positive downs that God did for you. Would you just put up that hand and say, pray for me? Put that hand up just quickly. Pray for me. I need to see the positive downs that Jesus did, not the negative downs that are in my life consuming me. Lord, bless them. Lord, give them strength. Give them divine focus to look at the positive downs that you did in our lives to help us to get up. Lord, I love you. I praise your name. And I thank you for touching everybody that had their hand raised, someone to raise it and didn't. I ask you to bless them right now to help them hold on just a little bit longer, because you're doing something in their life. If they'll just hold on, it's amazing what will happen when they see the sun come up again. Maybe you're here today and you're just needing God to do something special for you. You're needing God to touch you in such a way that you'll know that it's God, nobody else. And you're needing God to do something in your life that will amaze you and those around you when God does it. Right now, the altars are open. You have a need from God, you come on up here. You have a need from God, you come on up here. Talk to Him. I know it's 12 o'clock. That's okay. Don't let that stop you. You have a need from God, come and pray. Come and pray. You need God to touch somebody else that you know. Come and pray. Don't let this day go by without praying. God, help us to focus on your positive downs so that we won't get caught up in our own negative downs. Help us, God. Show us. Enlighten us. Use us. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. I thank you for breakthrough, God. I thank you for breakthrough. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. I thank you for all those positive downs that you've done for us, God. I thank you. I thank you. Next week, again, I want to preach on seven ups. Did seven downs, I want to do seven ups. But I'm not sure that's what's going to happen, because I keep feeling inside that there's some people really, really fighting doubt. They're really fighting doubt in their life. They're doubting God. They're doubting themselves. They're doubting what's happening in their life. They're doubting it all. And they're wondering if God's going to come through. So, either next week or the week after, I'm not sure, because I'm trying to be led by the Spirit very strong on this. Almost did it today. We're going to talk about how to deal with your doubt. So, in the next week, we're going to talk about seven ups. We're going to talk about doubt, one or the other. But come on and expect God to do something strong in your life. Not just great, strong in your life. Don't forget when you walk out to to give Samantha a hug and tell her, how do y'all say that? Oorah? Oorah. Yeah. Yeah. Simplify. You know what simplify? I know you know what simplify means. Always faithful. Always faithful. That's awesome. That is so, so awesome. Simplify, oorah. Amen. And look over our two new deacons, go, simplify, oorah. Amen. God is awesome. Brother Bean, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Thank you, Lord, for the blessings you've provided for us today. Lord, as we go forth, let us take those blessings and share them with others so all will know your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.